Support for the Exchange podcast from NHPR comes from you, our subscribers,
and from the law firm of Primer, Piper, Eggleston, and Kramer, providing comprehensive legal counsel to New Hampshire businesses and their owners for more than 30 years. For more information or to speak to an attorney, visit primer.com. And from the New Hampshire Department of Agriculture, Markets, and Food. New Hampshire's farms and farmers markets are full of fresh goods, rich with agricultural heritage, and available all year long. You can locate pick-your-own-farms, farmers markets, fairs, and more near you using the directories at visitnh.gov/agriculture.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. New Hampshire has 13 cities of all sizes and personalities. Some have a busy urban character. Some feel more like small towns. Some promote their cultural importance, others a deep connection to the outdoors. Some are thriving in our modern economy. Others are still struggling to catch up, but all are dealing with similar issues: housing, education, substance abuse, infrastructure, and how to pay for the improvements the public wants. Today in The Exchange, we sit down with three mayors on how their cities are working through these challenges and how they leverage their unique assets. And let's hear from you. If you live in New Hampshire City, what do you love about it? What don't you love about it? And what's the message you'd like to send to your city's mayor? Let us know. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Our email, exchange@nhpr.org. Use Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. Our mayors are Franklin Mayor Tony Ginta. He was elected in 2017 as mayor of the state's smallest city. He's served in various elected roles for many years in Franklin, including as mayor before. And Mayor Ginta, nice to see you. Welcome back.
It's a pleasure to be back, Laura.
Also with us, Keene Mayor Kendall Lane. He's serving his fourth term as mayor. He's also been a state representative and has served in various other offices in Keene. And Mayor Lane, nice to see you. Thank you for being
here.
Thank
you. It's good to be here.
And also with us, Rochester Mayor Caroline McCarley. She's in her second term as mayor. She's a former state senator and school board member, including time as a chair of the school board. And Mayor McCarley, it's nice to see you. Thank you for being here as well.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, I'll give you all the chance to be cheerleaders first before we get into the hard stuff. Mayor McCarley, starting with you, what's great about Rochester?
Just about everything. It's really an amazing community. I have lived there for quite a long time. All three of my children went through the public school system. And I think one of the things that I really like to talk about, I confess, is our public school system. I think we are a leader, actually nationally, in competency-based education and project learning. We have other communities from all over the country coming by to see what we're doing. But we also have an incredible arts and cultural scene going on that's been true forever. From the time I moved there, there was, you know, music on the commons on Tuesday nights in the summer. And it's just a really fun place. But we've also, in the last 10 or 15 years, seen the arrival of some amazing advanced manufacturing companies, as well as an economic development up on the ridge. So there's just an awful lot going on. And we welcome anybody to come, visit, stay, whatever. So
right,
please
so
do.
Arts, education, high tech, you've got it all.
Exactly.
In Rochester.
Exactly.
How about you, Mayor Lane? What's great about Keene?
Keene's a unique city, and you know, some people in New Hampshire would say that something odd about us, because we're a very progressive city. We have done a lot of work on sustainability. Our advanced manufacturing is expanded and is very successful in the community, that we don't have any other sizable communities near us. So we're very self-reliant. We take care of ourselves. We have to take care of ourselves. There's nobody else we can rely upon. And the volunteerism in the community, the people in the community really get involved a great deal in any issue that's going on.
Well, I'm definitely going to ask you a little bit later about that location.
It makes a huge
question
difference.
Because it does.
Yes.
And all three of you have very unique locations that affect the life in your city. But go ahead, Mayor Ginta, you next. What's great about Franklin?
Well, you know what? First of all, let me just say that I don't think there's anything strange about Keene at all. I think they're great people over there.
Well, he has to say that because we just stole the city manager to become the new city manager in Keene.
That's correct. And in Franklin, to sum it up in one word, volunteerism. It's a fantastic community for pulling people together, doing things for our community, stepping forward, whether it's buying flowers. We just heard last night at our city council meeting someone stepped forward and bought flowers for in the entire police department to beautify the front of the police department. It's things like that that happen, and our champions. And I especially want to do a call out for Franklin Savings Bank. They have always been there for us, and they are still there today, moving forward, moving us forward to a great day in Franklin.
Well, you've also got those three rivers converging.
Well, there's no question about it. Mayor Lane said this as well when you talk about recreation, and that is where Franklin is headed.
What's the toughest issue, I'll start with you, Mayor Ginter, that you're dealing with in your city? What keeps the mayor of Franklin up at night?
Potholes.
Really?
Potholes keep me up at
night.
I thought
you would say opioid epidemic or homelessness or potholes.
All of those things exist, Laura. Sure. Everybody recognizes them. But at the end of the day, everybody drives to and from home, and they're always going through their roads and their potholes, and they want those things fixed. They want us to keep an eye on infrastructure. So if there's anything that literally keeps me up at night with a phone call, it's going to be our infrastructure.
How about you, Mayor McCarley? One thing. I mean, obviously, we'll talk about all these big issues later.
I think, really, it is managing what feels like the very edge of an incredible growth in the community. And so with that comes all the things that you worry about, certainly the opioid crisis. But I think managing what we feel like is sort of the very, very edge of what do we do about parking? What do we do about housing? How much more? How can we grow the downtown, but how can we make sure it stays the downtown? I think that issue probably for me is the feeling that with all the economic development going on, we just want to do it right. And so we struggle with maintaining some of the infrastructures downtown versus saying maybe it's time to take it down and build. It's that sort of managing growth that I think probably keeps me up.
Wow, which some people listening would say, that's a good problem to have.
It is a good problem, but it's a scary problem, too. And
sure.
You do want to do it right.
Because once you pave it over, it's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
How about you, Mayor Lane? What's the biggest problem that keeps you up at night? Our
biggest challenge is how do we manage economic development that really, you know, we don't have the type of growth in Keene that exists over in the eastern part of the state, that our population has basically been unchanged since about 1970. So that we really have to be concerned about where is the workforce going to come from? How are we going to keep our local industry there so that they can expand and grow? And where is their workforce going to come from? And we are constantly working on that. You know, Maginta made reference to recreation. We've done a lot to foster both indoor and outdoor recreation in the city of Keene.
You have that fabulous bike and walking path that goes all over the city.
You know, we're trying to make the city more attractive so that younger people will move into the city and find it an attractive place to live and to raise their families. That we need to create that sustainable workforce that will, so that the businesses that we have in Keene will stay in Keene. And if there's anything that keeps me up at night, it's worrying about, you know, are businesses going to stay here? Are they going to move out? Are we going to be able to manage that workforce that will keep them here?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because I want to let everybody know that we are planning a whole week-long series on the Exchange on New Hampshire's labor shortage, on this workforce issue. That's coming up at the end of the month. So I'm glad you mentioned that, and we'll maybe touch on that a little bit later in the show more specifically. I want to remind listeners that you can join us, 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Today in the Exchange, three mayors talk about their cities. We're talking with the mayors of Franklin, Keene, and Rochester about the issues facing their communities. And let's hear from you. If you live in a city, what do you love about it? What don't you love about it? What message would you like to send to the mayor of your city, whether it's Franklin, Keene, Rochester, or another city in the Granite State? Again, the number 1-800- 892-6477. And Mayor Lane, to you first, but everybody, how do you think your city, Keene, is viewed by outsiders?
That's an amazing question, because when I've traveled to Manchester, when I've traveled outside the state of New Hampshire, it's amazing. People know Keene. They realize that we are here. If you live right in Keene, you have no idea how outsiders view your community. But if you travel outside of Keene, it's been amazing to me how many people outside of Keene. I've gone down to D.C. on several occasions, and Keene is actually a community that because of our work on sustainability, because of our work on climate change, because we've really been ahead of the curve for small communities statewide on climate change, and people look at us and are amazed at the amount of work that we've been able to accomplish in a small community.
How do you think people see Franklin, Mayor Ginta?
Outsiders
in New Hampshire, but outsiders,
yeah. Outside of Franklin, as a city that's really coming alive, Laura. It's funny, the greatest criticism we have are from the people that actually live in our city. But when you go outside of our city, everybody's talking about the Whitewater Park, kayaking, the trails, and they're excited about what's happening in the city. So it's good. It's rejuvenating for me, because sometimes I work outside of the city every day, to hear that people view us as really turning that city around.
How do you think people view Los Angeles, Mayor McCarley?
Los Angeles?
I'm sorry, Rochester. Because people used to say, the nickname used to be Rochangeles for Rochester. I apologize.
And we used to call Match Vegas.
Yes, that's right.
Rochester over Manchester.
That's where that came from.
But I would have to say a similar feeling to your circumstances in Franklin, that I think sometimes people in Rochester don't realize how people are viewing us from the outside, because people love coming to the Rochester Opera House, and they've heard about the Arts and Performance Center, and they've heard about new restaurants. And yet, if you talk to people in Rochester, they'll sometimes say, well, I don't know why anybody would want to come here. And it's almost a frustrating,
really?
Because as the mayor, you think, get downtown, do more. And yet, there is no question, if you drive through downtown Rochester, we've got some empty storefronts, we've got some absentee landlords, and therefore it can create an image that there isn't anything happening. And yet, you go down on a Friday or Saturday night and you can't find a parking place because the Rochester Opera House is completely banged out with people. So it's a frustrating, and yet, again, it gives me an opportunity to remind the citizens in Rochester what a great place it is. And I think I don't want to keep being the cheerleader here, but I do want to circle back a little bit. I think the other thing about Rochester that you do know about it if you live there is the sense of volunteerism, what volunteers have built in our community. We have one of the most amazing athletic parks anywhere that you've ever seen, started back in the 60s. All done by volunteers, people who gave their time, or construction companies that went up, built it, keep it going, keep it up. So that kind of volunteerism is something that you will find the people in Rochester will tell you about Rochester.
Again, I want to go back to some of the issues that you mentioned at the beginning of the show, some of the things that keep you up at night. I think you mentioned potholes, Mayor Ginta. You mentioned workforce, Mayor Lane, and you mentioned, Mayor McCarley, just how to keep this growth that you're on the cusp of from getting out of control. So to you first, Mayor McCarley, how do you even begin with that? What sorts of pieces are you looking at when you think about that concern?
Well, certainly, and a little bit of it goes back to the workforce and the fact that, we've got these advanced manufacturing companies who are not able to hire right now. They're not able to find enough people for jobs. And the good thing about that we've been trying to do is working very closely with our vocational center, our technology center, and Great Bay Community College, so that we are getting kids in our high school able to go and take part in those programs, doing some volunteer, giving people the ability to come out of high school with already some advanced degree and coursework. So that's a really important thing, I think, to think about in terms of guaranteeing that we have the workforce. But then it's housing. Housing has become more and more expensive in Portsmouth, more and more expensive in Dover. So it's now arriving in Rochester with a lot of people moving in, building permits, housing permits, going crazy. But also the ability to have the housing that is affordable for what are people who don't make necessarily as much money as you do if you're living in Portsmouth or Dover. And so that balance is something that, again, kind of keeps you up at night.
I would love to talk a little bit more about housing. In some communities, there's not enough, or at least not enough, as you say, Mayor McCarley, that middle to lower income people can afford. Mayor Ginta, how would you describe the housing situation in Franklin?
I'd describe it as the best value probably in the state. If you are going to go someplace and get the best bang for your buck, come to the city of Franklin. That's changing. We just went through a citywide reassessment, and property values went up on average 20% across the whole city. And so when you talk about things that keep me up at night, yes, it comes down to potholes, because that's the phone calls that I get. But at the base of it all is the tax base. That is my biggest problem. How do I grow that tax base? And it's not just getting reassessment, because, Laura, in the house that you live in, just because your property value went up by 20% doesn't mean your salary went up by 20% to support a 20% increase in your tax rate. And so it's growing that tax base so that you bring more people in, newer construction. We haven't quite gotten there yet, Mayor. So we're hoping for more and more growth, but we're getting there. Our permits that are going for single-family homes continues to grow. But it's voluntarily buying something for more money. That's when, after you come to me and say, geez, my taxes are too high, I'll say, but you bought that house at X. You knew what your tax base was going to be, what your taxes were going to be. So it's tougher to complain. That's what we need, is more people to come, raise the value, and voluntarily agree to get their taxes increased.
Well, and given the prices, which seem like they're relatively reasonable still in Franklin, are you seeing more people, Mayor Ginta, buying houses in Franklin and working in Concord? Because this is a major employment base here.
I would say yes and no. Because right now, I will tell you that if you wanted to work and you wanted to live in the city of Franklin, there are 250 jobs right now that are open in the city of Franklin. We suffered the same problem as Keenan, I'm sure, as in Rochester.
Workforce issues, really?
Absolutely. Huh. And so Watts Water Technologies, an international company, is based in Franklin, New Hampshire. People don't know that. Vitex Extrusions, another leader in aluminum extrusions, leading the way for solar, when you talk about solar panels and the aluminum that goes on them. A leader in that field, 50 people they could hire tomorrow. And so when people look at Franklin and say, well, there just isn't enough employment there, really? Give me a call. I'll give you my cell phone number. We'll have you employed in about a day and a half. Only two things you have to satisfy. One, pass a drug test, and two, show up on the second day, you're hired.
So housing is not quite yet the sharp issue that it is in some communities.
Correct.
Mayor Ginta, and that's an asset probably for you at this point.
No question about it.
How about Keene, Mayor Lane?
Housing is a big issue in Keene. Our housing stock is old, and we have not had any significant new construction really since the recession in 2008. That there are a lot of large old houses in Keene that, quite frankly, younger people don't want. That's not what they're looking for housing. For workforce housing, that's not what they're looking for. So that is a big issue. We need to generate more investment in housing in Keene.
In new housing
in order to make it more attractive for younger people to be there.
What's the holdup?
The holdup is really a lack of space We're in the process of redoing the land use code, our zoning ordinance, and as part of that, we're looking at the fact that we have some zoning requirements that basically create 5-acre lots, and those were all imposed back in the 60s and 70s when there was a big concern about this huge amount of growth that was taking place in the state. We need to undo that and really look at zoning, look at building codes, look at the contracting business to make it more attractive for them to build newer housing, so that that can satisfy the requirements really that younger people have.
All right. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit more about housing in terms of how housing shortages are affecting homelessness in your cities. And we'll also talk more about the natural environment, how you leverage that in your city as part of the broader economy. And we'll start taking your questions and comments. So join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org.
Recently on The Exchange, we explored a particularly New Hampshire institution.
A town minus its general store has a huge hole in it, and people know that. Even if you don't stop at the general store, you want there to be one, because you know that that's like having the lights on. It's the pilot light of your town, and if it's out, you feel like there's something wrong.
The Exchange is your place for New Hampshire conversations. Every weekday at 9 a.m., only on NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today, we're talking with three New Hampshire mayors on the issues facing their communities, from education to the environment to economic development. And let's hear from you. If you live in one of the state's 13 cities, tell us about it. Where do you see it doing well? What would you like to see change in your city? Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Once again, exchange@nhpr.org. Use Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. We have three mayors with us. Kendall Lane is mayor of Keene, Caroline McCarley is mayor of Rochester, and Tony Ginta is mayor of Franklin. And all of you, let's go to our listeners. Sarah on Twitter asks, how is the local creative economy impacting the overall success of your community? I'm going to turn to you first, Mayor McCarley, because you mentioned the Opera House and the Music on the Common and all the other endeavors that Rochester has.
Yeah, we certainly, I think, we've always had a commitment to music in the community. Amazing high school band, does all that sort of thing. But I think the restoration of the Opera House that began in the early 90s was a huge investment. And I think there were a lot of people in the community who said, is this really going to go? Is this going to happen? And as I said now, it's just a gem. It is absolutely amazing. And as an extension of that, we recently opened the Rochester Art and Performing Arts Center right in the middle of downtown in a building that was renovated. And it provides huge opportunities for kids to come and learn about the arts, get training, classes. So it is a huge part of what we do. We have music on the commons. We have music downtown on Fridays. It is truly, I think, a real driver. And certainly we've done a lot of work surveying the amount of money that comes into the community as a result of somebody deciding to come to the Opera House. Then they also stay for supper or they go downtown. So it really is a thriving part of what we do. And I think it's something that used to be when you would say arts and culture in Rochester, people might look at you with a question mark, but that's just simply not true anymore. So it's been really, really important.
How about you, Mary Lane?
Arts and culture are an important part of in the state and in most communities. In Keene, we have the Colonial Theater, which you're very familiar with, and I mean that is an incredible attraction for the downtown, and you can't get a parking space most Friday nights and Saturday nights because of their events going on at the Colonial Theater. But now we're also developing an arts and culture corridor along one of the streets right off Main Street along Gilboa Avenue.
Okay, I did not know that.
We're looking at constructing three new structures, including a covered pavilion on Gilboa Avenue, to really increase the amount of outdoor music venues that are available in the community. Because we have a lot of festivals in Keene. I mean, that's kind of a tradition that we've had for a long time. I mean, everybody knows about the Pumpkin Fest, but we also have...
For better or for worse, but yeah, go ahead.
we also have a music festival, and you know, we have a number of festivals. We have a number of opportunities for artists to really allow their product, their their work to be shown publicly. Art Walk is incredibly popular. All the downtown businesses participate in that and put current art from local artists in their shop windows, and that goes on for about a week. So the arts are very important in the community. They are a big part of the economy. And it's something that we are encouraging and supporting and fostering going forward.
Sarah, I appreciate the question. Do you want to jump in on that, Mayor Ginta?
Quickly, I will say that, as I suspected when we sat down here, that we were all going to have very much the same experiences. And I will say to the person who wrote in that Creative Force is driving what's happening in the city of Franklin. And one of my proudest moments was when I was first elected back in 2000, was to push for our Opera House to come back. So the Franklin Opera House has been a jewel right in our downtown. I predicted that would be the case. Many others predicted that was the case, too. It's come to fruition. And by the way, Mary Poppins this weekend, phenomenal play. Come on and see it.
Thanks again for the question, Sarah. Again, you can give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org, or use Twitter like Sarah did. It's NHPR Exchange. Go ahead, Mayor Lane.
One thing that I do want I do want to mention is Keene has recently been selected for a festival. It's called Wall Dogs, and it's an international festival where artists come together from across the country, primarily sign painters, and will paint murals on brick walls in the community for like five days, and it's going to be June 19th to the 23rd, and we're expecting, you know, probably 30 to 40,000 people will converge on the community for the wall dogs as they work in the community. The only other place in New England where they have actually participated was in was down in Rhode Island, in Westerly, Rhode Island. So we're extremely fortunate that they're coming to Keene and they're really creating public art that will
that's quite public if they're drawing yes, it, yeah, or putting yeah, it right on
yes,
the brick
it is.
Walls
and,
of the
and
buildings.
The community has been very much involved in it and has been selecting the walls and is selecting the topics for the murals. It's an incredible festival that we're really looking forward to. And it's something that will last for 35, 45, 50 years.
Sure. All right, let's go back to our listeners. Again, Sarah, thank you for that comment. We're talking about New Hampshire's cities today in the Exchange. We're sitting down with the mayors of three, Keene, Franklin, and Rochester. But if you live in another city, we'd like to hear from you, too. Tell us what is great about your city. Tell us what you wish would change about your city. Again, our number is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. And to Rochester, Peter is on the line. Hi, Peter. Go ahead. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me.
Sure, go ahead. So
I'm a faculty at the Great Bay campus in Rochester, where we train people for jobs in advanced manufacturing. And we have a program that will, in 6 months, put people in these high-tech jobs with some of these companies who, as you stated, are scrambling for employees. They can't find enough people to hire. And our problem is we can't get enough students. We could easily train three times as many as we get through our program. And, you know, we have this sweet deal where, you know, in 6 months, they can get this certificate. It's halfway to their associate's degree. They get college credit for it. The companies that are hiring will pay for additional schooling, so lots of people can get their associates that way. And yet, you know, I can't think of a sweeter deal, but we still can't get students. And so I'm wondering, what's the problem? Do people just not want to work? Do people not know about the program? Is it still, you know, too expensive, even though it's a tenth the cost of normal schooling, a 4-year degree? What's the issue?
Wow, Peter, thank you so much for the call. And go ahead, Mayor McCarley.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, and thanks, Peter, for talking about it. I mentioned it really briefly a few minutes ago, but the programming that's being offered by Great Bay is amazing. And certainly our kids at Spalding are certainly taking some advantage, but probably not
Spalding
enough.
High School.
I'm sorry, yes, that's the name of our high school. It's not Rochester High School. It's actually Spalding High School. And certainly I know the Technology Center has done a lot of work on career work to get more kids involved. involved, and we've certainly tried to advertise the program locally, but certainly students from other places could be coming as well, and it is a huge resource. So I'm so glad Peter mentioned it. It's an opportunity to get a shout out for the program, and people should certainly call and find out more about it. Absolutely.
Peter, thank you so much for the call. And here's an email from Christopher in Manchester. He says, as folks are rediscovering downtowns, I love visiting our smaller cities throughout the state, each with its own personality and unique architecture. Christopher says, I had never really driven through Franklin until a few years ago. The compact downtown infrastructure is wonderful. I picture how dynamic it must have been when the stores were full and everyone walked from store to bank to home, as we did in Manchester when I was young, and are starting to do more again. Christopher says, Claremont also has a lovely downtown. I look forward to the day when these struggling smaller cities return to their earlier economic vitality and fill and repurpose those empty storefronts. And Mayor Ginta, let's talk about that. You're a big cheerleader for Franklin. You talked about all the good stuff that's been going on there. But the city has been struggling. I've been to the downtown, and Christopher's right. You know, there's parts that look great, but there's parts that look just like they need a shot of energy or a little more love. I just wonder what you think can be done about that to restore the downtown the way Christopher describes.
Well, Christopher and Laura, you've got to come back. Mary Poppins is a great excuse for you to come this weekend, but that's changing very, very rapidly. The storefronts are filling up. There was just a whole big movement to change the way the facades look in downtown, and it's absolutely beautiful. As it was described to me, Franklin Savings Bank is expanding across the street. They're bringing their financial services across the street. They bought two buildings. They did the facades over. If you look at those facades today, you would think you were in Wall Street down in Boston. They're absolutely beautiful, all granite, steel. And so these things are happening. Two new permits for restaurants, a brewery called Vulgar coming in. Maybe the name isn't very attractive, but the old English definition of vulgar is to communicate, to talk, to come back together again as a community, which is how they're setting up this new brewery. So it is happening. Please come on back down. Christopher, if you haven't been there a couple of years, then you've got to come back, and you'll be very surprised at what you see in the city of Franklin.
So the microbrew trend is coming to Franklin.
Yes, it is.
Okay, Christopher, thank you for the email. Did you want to jump in,
yes,
Mayor
I did.
Lane? Yeah, because I think I read that you said recently it's been 30 years since Keene looked at its downtown, and it's time for
a
facelift.
30 years ago, we created a world-class downtown, and we have been able to maintain that downtown, but things have changed. We have a tremendous number of outdoor cafes. They're extremely popular, but quite frankly, the downtown is not designed to support them. So that we really have to look at the width of the sidewalks and how they're set up to really make them more compatible with the community. We want the community, we want the downtown to be pedestrian friendly. We have the widest main street in the world, but you can't cross it. For a pedestrian, it's really tough to get across.
Yeah, people haven't seen it, by the way. It's very wide to the point where there's a bench in the middle.
That's
so
right.
So if you're elderly and you need to sit
down, you can stop and sit
it.
Before you can cross the other.
Go ahead, Mayor Lane.
The other side. So that we really need to take a look at the downtown to revitalize it and bring it up to the 21st century standards. But with the landscaping, with all of the cafes, with all of the arts and cultural activities going on, we really have a downtown that we should be proud of. A few years ago, the downtown in Keene was designated one of the top 10 outdoor spaces in the country by the American Planning Association. So that it's certainly an area that we're very proud of. We've also just finishing up the library project, which is an expansion of our public library, which is right adjacent to the downtown. And interestingly enough, when we talk about the community involvement, the community went out and did a fund drive and raised $5 million to apply toward the cost of doing that library. At the same time, there were two other major fund drives going on in the community, each in the $5 to $6 million range, so that the community really came forward and invested a great deal into the community and into the downtown.
Here's an email from Andrew in Peterborough who says, please address the higher per capita taxes in cities and, quote, market towns compared with the surrounding rural or residential towns that they are adjacent to. Andrew, thank you very much for the question. And Mayor McCarley, do taxes in Rochester compare favorably or not to the surrounding towns?
I think our taxes are a little bit lower than certainly are about the same as the two other cities that are next to us, Dover and Somersworth. I don't feel capable of commenting necessarily on the towns around us. Rochester does have a tax cap in place. We've had it in place since, I've forgotten, but it's been quite a few years. And certainly I think that has kept our taxes at a level where people have not felt a lot of stress with increased taxes every year like we did before the time of the tax cap. But the downside to the tax cap is that because of the way it's calculated, it's based on a CPI increase that's made up of a market basket of goods that are not really reflective of how you run a city. And so it's put a lot of pressure certainly on our school programming. And the city has fortunately seen a fair amount of revenue and investment relative to the we have a large waste management facility in the community that pays a lot in taxes, they'll happily tell you. But we've been able to take advantage of that to help out with some of the school programming. But the tax cap clearly has its positives and negatives. And I think that when the economy picks up, as it has for us, our industrial base has really grown so that we're being able to survive it. But it's not easy. And it's there's no question. I mean, people love the sound of a tax cap, but it can provide some difficulties in city government trying to make sure that you're providing the kind of services that you need. We certainly struggle with the number of, one, it's tricky to hire police officers these days, but certainly having enough public safety and what have you employees in place, that's the balancing act with the tax cap.
And you want to pay those people enough so that they come to Rochester and do those very difficult jobs, police, fire, EMTs, and so forth.
Exactly. So it's a tough balancing act.
Mayor Ginger, this has been an issue in Franklin, and pardon me for not remembering if you still have your tax cap on the books.
Oh, we still absolutely have it, yes. We were the first to have it, dating back all the way to 1989, and it is a struggle. There is never an easy budget year in the city of Franklin. We struggle every year. However, the important part to share with everyone is the fact that since 1989, the tax cap has been on the ballot three more times, and every time it's been on the ballot to reconsider, it's won by a larger margin every time it's been placed on the ballot. So the taxpayers of the city of Franklin are sending a very clear message. We can only absorb so much when it comes to taxes, and you figure it out. That's why we elect you.
How has that affected the schools? There's been a lot of coverage in the Concord Monitor, for example, of how Franklin schools have struggled because there's not enough money because of the tax cap. That's the conclusion anyway. Well, that's the narrative.
Yes. And we are middle of the road when it comes to how much we put towards our schools. We do the very best that we can. We put more towards our schools than Manchester and Nashua and some of the other cities. People don't recognize that. We don't have a whole lot of resources when it comes to land value. However, we still continue to outperform other cities and towns when it comes to putting money towards our school system. Now, I think, Laura, the bigger question is, what are the results of those dollars going to our school systems? Do we see that reflective in test scores? And that is not so. So it is not proportional, the amount you spend relative to the scores. That is the real issue we have to tackle.
Each city is set up differently in terms of governance. Mayor Ginta, how much say or control do the mayor and city council in Franklin have over the schools versus the school board?
The school board has total say over their budget, how it's spent. But it is the responsibility of the city council to approve the overall budget.
I see. So you give them a number. They can spend it however they see fit, but you guys determine how much they get.
Yes. And they recommend, they pass a budget, submit it to the city council, and then it is up to us to decide whether that number goes up or down.
How about in Keene, Mayor Lane?
In Keene, the school district is totally independent of the city. We really have nothing to say about the school district budget. The school board makes a recommendation to the public, and then we have a town meeting to vote on.
Wait, you have a town meeting though you're a city?
Now we're an SB2 community, but we up until recently we simply had a town meeting to handle the school district, and several thousand people would come out. Usually 2,000 to 3,000 people would turn out to vote on the school district.
A town meeting in the city of Keene. Now I'm
right.
Confused.
I think it's unfortunate that they did away with that system and went to an SB2, But the voters decide on the school district budget independently, and we have nothing to say about it.
Well, Andrew, thank you for the question. And we'll take a lot more of your questions and comments for the mayors of these cities in just a moment. The number is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. More in a moment.
I'm Jason Moon, host of the Bear Brook podcast from NHPR. Join me for a live show at the Wilbur Theater in Boston on Tuesday, May 14th. I'll speak about how we produced Bear Brook, the controversial science that helped crack open the case, and how that science is changing criminal investigations all across the country. Get your tickets now at thewilbur.com.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on our show, new approaches toward an old problem, spring encounters between humans and hungry bears. Join us for that conversation tomorrow morning, live at 9. This hour, city life in New Hampshire. We're checking in with the mayors of three cities, Keene, Franklin, and Rochester. We're talking about the issues affecting their communities. And let's hear from you if you live in a city. Tell us what's great about it or not so great about it, and what message would you send to your city's mayor? Again, send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org, or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. And all of you, Melanie's calling in from Jaffrey. Hi, Melanie, you're on the air. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, go ahead, Melanie.
I wanted to say I live in Jaffrey, and I work in Manchester, so I have all kinds of experiences in different size cities and towns here in New Hampshire.
That's a commute, Melanie, by the way. That's a long commute.
Well, when you love your work, it's worth the drive, right?
Wow.
But I wanted to ask, I know that there had been at one point, I want to say in the early 1990s, a New Hampshire Main Street program, and I know that the Main Street program had different offices, different organizations throughout the state. I, at one point, had worked for the Main Street program in Jaffrey, and I know Rochester and Manchester all have their own iterations of a Main Street program. I wanted to especially commend Mayor Lane for all the great work that's happening downtown in Keene, which is the closest city to where I live. But I was wondering, as the Main Street program seems to be sort of dissolving a little bit across the state, with fewer and fewer communities having private organizations that focus on downtown revitalization, I was wondering what you all are doing in your communities to ensure that there is, you know, funding or staffing or something in place to focus on downtown revitalization.
Melanie, thank you so much for the call. Mayor McCarley?
Sure. Rochester has actually a very, very active Main Street program, has been ever since it arrived in the community. They helped us put together a lovely little area, which is now turned into an outdoor dining for a very, very robust restaurant. So they were originally responsible, but they, as recently as two weekends ago, do an annual Rochester Cleanup Day that they run completely. And they usually do a festival in the fall, but they are an integral part of what we are doing downtown, and they've helped with some public art displays. And so, yeah, we consider Main Street to be a very viable entity in our community. They have a new director this last year, and so it's a program that we value quite a bit.
Well, Melanie, thank you for the call. And, you know, she mentioned her commute from Jaffrey to Manchester, which is not an easy one. And before the show, we were talking, actually, especially with Mayor Lane, coming from the western part of the state, infrastructure, Mayor Lane. New Hampshire's transportation networks, as you know, are very much focused north-south. How does that lack of robust east-west infrastructure affect the city of Keene?
Well, it's clearly a negative. It's clearly a problem that we have. I mean, our biggest asset, you know, Rochester has Skyhaven Airport. We have DeLand Hopkins Airport, and we market the airport, and a number of the businesses that are located in Keene utilize the airport a great deal.
It's not commercial airport, by
but
the way,
it's
right?
Not, it's
for
it's
private
not commercial,
entities.
It's not commercial.
It used to have commercial service.
We used to have commercial service. We don't currently, although we're negotiating for the possibility of instituting. Reinstituting commercial service at the airport, but the local businesses utilize the airport for both shipping as well as for, because so many of them are our own by international companies. They fly their people in to do business there, and they have access. But as far as highway access, we're 20 miles from the nearest interstate, which is in Vermont, which is in Brattleboro, and it's difficult to travel east-west in the state of New Hampshire. Route 9 is our primary access, in certainly to Concord and to Manchester. But you know, as I came over this morning, it's under construction in a number of different places.
I've been stuck in that several times.
Yeah,
this month.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. So yeah. I had to allow extra time coming over this morning,
right,
because of all the construction taking place. But once again, it's not an interstate, and not having a major east-west highway is certainly a negative impact on our community and on the western part of the state.
Now, what about bus service, Mayor Lane? Concord, for example, has, gosh, almost hourly buses to
yes.
Boston, many of them nonstop. The city now has a nonstop or almost nonstop stops in New York stops in Nashua to New York City twice a day on the weekends. So some cities, and Rochester, is Rochester served by the Amtrak? Mayor McCarley?
Not quite.
It's in Exeter and Portsmouth and Dover,
exactly.
But not in Rochester.
But you can get over to Dover very
okay.
easily. And then we have a coast bus service that does a lot of travel from Portsmouth, Dover, Rochester. And then we have the C&J bus line, for which you can, that's how people often get to Boston and New York.
So plenty of public transit in Rochester.
Is.
How about in Keene, Mayor Lane?
You know, that's an issue. That we have daily north-south bus service going. It actually goes from White River Junction, stops in Keene, and goes to New York, stopping in Springfield, Massachusetts. But as far as east-west, that's very difficult. We recently were given a state subsidy for east-west bus service going through either Nashua or Concord, and we put it out to bid, and there were no takers.
No private bus company wanted
to take it on. So we're negotiating with Greyhound and with one other company to see if we can generate enough interest to get them to institute the east-west bus service so that you can go from Keene to Boston.
Well, in an aging state, as people get older, sometimes they don't want to drive, sometimes they cannot drive. So this is going to become an issue more and more in New Hampshire. How about public transit in Franklin, Mayor Ginta? Is there anything for people who don't want to drive?
There's something, but not much. And it has been studied as well to see if there could be transit between Concord and Franklin, because there is so much traffic back
sure.
and forth. But it's never really taken off. And so that's something we need to concentrate on as well. And I think, Laura, you hit upon it, because we are aging population-wise in our city as well. So that is going to become a concern here in the near future.
You are not that far from 93, so that's probably a benefit to Franklin, being right on that major highway.
You know, you're right. You're right in that we always said, why couldn't we have been Tilton? Why couldn't we be Exit 20?
Which is right on the highway.
And now what we're finding is that's what we wanted. That's not necessarily what the area wanted, what people wanted. And I think we're finding benefits to the fact that we are not at Exit 20, because as Exit 20 grows, it is difficult to get through there. I try to avoid it now. And so people are looking at Franklin as off the beaten path, that I can get off this really busy area and I can go recreate in the city of Franklin.
All right. Again, the number for you to join us, like Melanie did, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Lots of questions from our listeners. Here's one for you, Mayor McCarley. Stephen in Dover says, what is Rochester doing to address crime in the downtown area as growth continues? My daughter lives there and I worry about her safety. Stephen, thank you for the email. And go ahead, Mayor McCarley.
Yeah, it's a question we get a lot, and it's interesting because nothing about our crime statistics suggest we have any serious issue with crime at all. So
it's a perception issue?
Yeah, it's a perception issue, and I want his daughter to feel certainly that you can be very safe. I know I walk downtown at night with no concerns whatsoever. Yes, have we had the occasional unfortunate crime incident that made the newspapers? Sure, there's no question about that, and that was a horribly unfortunate incident last summer. But I think that it is more of a perception than a reality. And I certainly regularly make sure the police chief keeps us updated on any sort of bumps or increases. But that doesn't mean, and we haven't really addressed this or talked about it too much, we do have a homelessness issue in Rochester. And you see that downtown. And while I don't think there is a danger there, there can be a perception that it isn't safe because you see some folks who, from an appearance perspective, you might think, oh, should I be nervous here? I think, therefore, we do need to keep talking about and are very concerned with homelessness in Rochester. And I think associated with that, and again, we haven't touched on it, but the opioid crisis hit us big time in Stratford County. I think we were generally regarded as sort of the epicenter in Stratford County, and Rochester as being in the center of that. So it's certainly something we're working very hard on. We've worked with the hospital in terms of having a recovery center for a couple of years. We have a couple of amazing groups in town that do some recovery work, the SOS organization, that has provided a huge amount of support for that community. We are seeing improvements, seeing smaller overdose calls and what have you. So all that is going in the right direction, but slowly. And I think we do worry, and I suspect you're finding it in your cities as well. We have 8 or 9 openings in our police department. It's not a matter of our not giving them the resources and the dollars to hire staff. It's hiring police officers these days has become, I mean, and that's true nationally. You hear it everywhere, that it's just the economy is really good. And so there are jobs that pay better and are a lot safer than being a police officer. So we worry a lot about that. We've got a criminal justice program in our high school now that hopefully is going to allow us to get people through a portion of the time it takes to train up. That's going to be really important. But in terms of safety, I think it's a very safe city, but I think we would love to have more community officers on the street for sure.
And 9 so it's police officer openings in a relatively small city like Rochester, 30,000 people.
31,000 people.
Yeah, so 9 openings is a lot.
Yeah, and we are probably not quite as competitive as we would like to be for salaries. So that's certainly something that is on our, you know, obviously there are contracts in place. And so we need to work on that. But it's something we are certainly talking a lot with our police folks. But I do want to say the other thing that I think the city council has made a front and center issue for us is we want community police folks. We want our police folks out in the community all the time. And they are. They're very present and do a great job. And I think that's been a really important thing for us.
Mayor Ginta, homelessness, opioid crisis, how has that hit Franklin?
Across the board, it's hit Franklin, especially when it comes to our emergency responders. And I think one of the reasons you're not seeing a lot of people going in to emergency services, and this is both fire and police, is that it's changed so dramatically. When we sit there at a council level and we hear reports that come in from the police chief and the fire chief about what their people need to go through on a daily basis, it's horrific what we're seeing. It's inhuman in many cases. And so police officers and firefighters go home and they can't deal with it. So it's really, really changed and it's affecting us. Yes, we have homelessness. Yes, we have opioid addiction across the board. And it's frustrating to deal with it because we've gone to the homeless population and we've said, come to us, we can give you a voucher, we can help you find a place to live. And their answer is, why do you think I'm homeless? I don't want a place to live. So how do you deal with someone like
that? So some want to live outside.
Right.
Not all, but some.
Correct.
How do you think that's affecting perceptions of your city? We just got that email from someone who perceived that Rochester wasn't safe, was worried about his daughter. So how do you think that affects your city's image, Mayor Ginta?
The very same way. I hear that all the time. I don't feel safe downtown, and yet there's no statistics to back up the fact that there are muggings or burglaries or anything like that. But the fact is you go downtown and you see someone who you really don't want to walk by, and it gives you the perception that there's crime. And so we need to tackle it. It's a difficult issue, as I'm sure the other mayors will tell you. It's very hard to solve. And I know that we're looking at a faith-based solution. There are a number of churches that have come to our city that are locating there, and they want to help. And so we're looking for any help that we can, possibly get.
And we've done dozens and dozens of shows on the opioid crisis and homelessness. So I'll set that aside for now, but sure. It's good to get your impressions. We got an email from someone who wants to remain anonymous, and this is for you, Mayor Lane. Mayor Lane commented that housing is a problem in Keene. Please ask him about the college housing sitting empty due to low enrollment at Keene State. This person says there are plenty of beautiful old houses in Keene that, due to delinquent landlords, are falling into disrepair and emptiness. Many young people would like to live in these old neighborhoods, but the value has plummeted. Taxes are too high to fix them up. This person says, how about tax breaks for those who would fix up these houses? How about holding out-of-state landlords responsible for upkeep of their property? These are the real issues in Keene. And boy, Mayor Lane, these are issues in other cities as well. Absentee landlords, they forget about the house. Mm-hmm. I was in Keene just over the weekend. I saw what this person's talking about. Yeah.
Certainly those are issues that aren't restricted to Keene. But you know, we have instituted programs. We've instituted programs that would allow for deferral of property taxes if in fact there are actual improvements done to properties. We've adopted 79E and we're using 79E to both for commercial properties as well.
What's 79E?
79E is a state program that allows deferral of taxes on any improvements to property for up to 5 years. And a lot of communities are using the 79E program as a way to encourage investment in older properties. And we're doing it in Keene. You know, we're also looking at setting up a fund, an investment fund where we would be able to loan funds to people who would invest in residential properties. Certainly, Keene State used to have run around 5,000 people. Now it runs around 4,000 people.
Oh, that's a big drop.
That's a big drop. And there are properties, there are landlords that have realized that they can't. It's more difficult to rent to students than it used to be. Part of the issue is they have to make adjustments in their rental structure. That all of a sudden they can't put four students in an apartment and get $600 from each student and expect that's going to be able to continue with the drop in the student population.
Well, we'll set it aside for now, but that's definitely an issue for college towns as the college population drops overall, and this issue of absentee landlords. I'm sure that's something that you all struggle with. But just to close out with all of you, and Mayor McCarley, you first, how much do you get together with other mayors, either in person or on the phone or online, just to check in on how other mayors are working through some of these issues?
You know, not as much probably as we all should.
We all have full-time jobs, by the way, which we didn't even talk about.
I do have the luxury, if you will, of being in close proximity to both Dover and Somersworth, both cities with mayors. And we actually, the three of us, specific to this homelessness issue, put together a mayor's task force on homelessness that spent the last 8 or 9 months, has provided us with a set of 7 strategies to go about trying to address this. So we have been fortunate, and certainly I know a couple of the other mayors across the state that over time in politics I can check in with if I need something. So
pick up the phone and give
exactly.
them a call. How about you, Mayor Ginta? How much do you get together with other mayors?
We don't, and that's a shame. And in fact, maybe with the impetus of this show, we will make a phone call, send out a letter, and convene, because I think we need a mayor summit.
Okay. Well, that would be very interesting to attend. I hope that it happens for you. I really appreciate you all coming in today, making the trip, especially with the construction on Route 9, Mayor Lane.
Well,
thank you very much for being here.
It was a pleasure to come over here. Even though we're 50 miles from any other sizable community, it was still a pleasure to come over here. Thank you.
This is The Exchange on NHPR.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you liked what you heard, spread the word. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts to help other listeners find us. And thanks.